In the last couple videos, we've talked a little bit about how the Simp Industrial Complex used the pink mist to blind us and to block our conscious thinking, our rational minds, when we're falling in love with a woman. What we don't realize is that the Simp Industrial Complex leverages our own vulnerabilities to maximize this weaponization of the pink mist. Today, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about what those vulnerabilities are and what you can do to shore them up so that you're not a victim of the Simp Industrial Complex. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Yes, the Simp Industrial Complex is devious. It basically uses what makes you human against you. Your need or your desire, your wish to have a normal relationship with a woman, to procreate, to have a family. It's going to take all that and weaponize it and turn it into something that becomes so central and so critical to your existence that you'll do anything to achieve it. Using your vulnerabilities against you is the most devious part of the Simp Industrial Complex. The first vulnerability that it uses is your low self-esteem. Now, I know this doesn't affect everybody, and it certainly does affect different people in different ways, but when we're young, it's inevitable at some point you're going to experience a moment or a time, an experience, where your esteem, your self-esteem has been impacted in a negative way. And when this happens, the Simp Industrial Complex sort of steps in. It realizes that you have this feeling of not being worthy, not being good enough. It frequently happens after the first time you've been rejected by a girl. Being male, regardless of your age, involves lots of rejection. I don't think women understand just how significant a factor this is in our lives, how we experience rejection from a very young age, and it continues throughout our entire lives. And the pain of this rejection affects our self-esteem. It causes us to feel like maybe we aren't worthy. I remember the first time I experienced rejection from a girl. I was probably like, I mean, 8 or 9, maybe 10 years old. And there was this real cute girl that lived on my block. And I made it very well known to her that I thought she was cute. And she did not return the sentiment. She did not think I was cute. Can you believe it? I mean, who would reject all this, you know? But at 8 or 9 years old, I did not have a lot of game, you know? I think I wrote her a note telling her I was cute, handed it to her sister, and her sister delivered it to her and delivered me a note back. I think it may have been one of those little checkbox things. Do you like me? Yes or no? It came back with a big no. Self-esteem goes into the toilet. Oh, man. So my little 9-year-old brain at that moment started thinking, what can I do? How can I overcome this problem? Simp Industrial Complex has the answer, man, has the answer. Start simping now. Her mom had like a craft shop in her house. She would hollow out eggs and she would turn them into these little like seams. And I think it was coming up on Christmas or something like that. And I had to buy a Christmas gift for my mom anyway. So this is my opportunity to win some points with my girl. So I went to her house and I had my, you know, savings, my $5 or whatever it was, $6. And I bought a couple of those eggs for my parents, like they were going to want them for Christmas. All the while, I'm thinking I'm winning points with this girl, you know, like this is going to open the door. It's just simping, just plain and simple, simping, simping, simping. Yeah, she was not impressed with my big spending on my mom for Christmas. I can't remember how much time planning this little caper and then imagining after I had made the purchase how this was just going to change everything, how now she was going to see me in a different light. I was the kind of guy that would buy his mom a present, you know, and I have money. Like I was just flashing the green, you know what I mean? Giving her the greenbacks. I was trying to be like Mr. Cool. Yeah, it had no impact at all. That girl never talked to me again, you know. But the simping had started. That was the moment that the low self-esteem had sunk in, the rejection had occurred, and the simping began at that moment. And it just carries on forward. The next exploit that the Simp Industrial Complex is going to grab onto and use against you is negative self-talk. which just goes perfectly with low self-esteem and rejection. You know what I mean? Because as soon as you get that rejection and that low self-esteem kicks in, well, now you're just going to tell yourself over and over and over again how you're just not good enough. Ugh, the self-talk is the best. Man, it can just totally fuck up your whole world. You just convince yourself in these monologues, these conversations that you're having with this voice in your head about how you're just not good enough and how you just need to do this or that and how you need to be more this, be more that. You're too fat, you're too short, you're too small, you're too big, you're too whatever, you're too something. You're just not good enough. You're just not good enough. And that self-talk just, you know, it just creates this loop of negative conversation that goes on and on and on. And it continues. The older you get, it's like at 9 years old, I don't think the self-talk got in there too deep. I think I went on to baseball practice or, you know, another thing started and I was distracted by it. And that girl fell into the background. But then moving on to middle school, you know, it can become the same kind of deal. Now, I think I hit my peak cuteness at age 11 or 12, like maybe around 12, because that's when I had the prettiest girlfriend. You know, and she went to the dance with me. Oh, it was wonderful. I had this wonderful thing, and all my friends were just so impressed that I had this girlfriend. Oh, she was kissing me on the bus, you know? I mean, it was just unreal. It was unreal. We went on a field trip together, like in our science class, and we sat together in the bus. Man, my friends could not believe it. They were thinking that I had something that they didn't. I did not understand it at all. I had no clue what she saw in me. But we had a very nice little romance for a couple of months until someone else came along and I was done. Now, I was still kind of living in the afterglow that this beautiful girl even liked me to begin with. But then it started sinking in, like, well, why doesn't she like me anymore? You know, what did I do? How did I end up being like this? Why'd she break up with me? What happened? Anyway, the negative self-talk just kicks right in and it starts telling you that you're just not good enough, that someone else is better, that you don't have what it takes, whatever it may be. And it's very, very hard to get control of that, because that negative self-talk takes us on to the next exploit that the simp industrial complex is going to use against you, and that's your belief systems. Oh, yeah, when you start telling yourself stuff that's negative long enough, then it kind of sinks in and it becomes a belief. You suddenly now are certain that you're not good enough. You believe without a doubt that everyone in the world has a reason not to like you, and you're going to have to do something above and beyond to win their favor. You're going to have to find some way to prove to them that you're worthy of whatever it is that they you know, they need or they want in a man. You can't just be good enough on your own. You've got to bring something else to the table. And this manifests itself in men doing all kinds of stupid shit. You know, spending money unnecessarily, doing things, you know, submitting, you know, just putting ourselves in a position of submission to a woman almost at every single turn. This behavior becomes extremely destructive, because once it's sunk into your belief system, it's part of your identity. You start to see yourself as not being good enough anymore, you know? And so anytime you get an opportunity to have a relationship with a woman, you go all in from the very beginning. The minute that pink mist hits you, you know, and you start feeling that little tingle, you start thinking that maybe she likes you, or you found her and you like her, you start scheming, you start planning. How are you going to pull this off? What are you going to do to prove to her that you're worthy? Whew, man. That is stepping right into the simp industrial complex plan right there. That goes, like, you're simping before you even start. You're planning to simp. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you haven't even started simping yet. You're scheming on how you're going to simp. Yeah, you're going to a whole nother level of simping. You know, it's built into your system now. Simping is who you are. You are a simp. And you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. You just think this is part of the game. This is the game that you need to play in order to win what you think you need to make you feel whole. Ugh. Man, nothing could be further from the truth. But it's the way our brains work, you know? It's the way our brains work. The next exploit that the simp industrial complex uses against us is external locus of control. The external locus of control means that you're motivated by things outside of yourself and you're validated by things outside of yourself. That you're not driving the train, you're being pulled like a car on the train, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're being pulled into these situations. You're allowing external events to make determinations for you about how you're going to act, how you're going to behave, what your priorities are, what defines you, what is success, all these very critical aspects of who you are now being determined by someone else, something else. They're telling you what you should do, how you should do it, when you should do it, where you should do it, what success looks like, whether you failed, whether you're a good person, whether you measure up in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, it all started with that initial rejection and that negative self-talk and that negative belief system, and now you've pushed all the responsibility for who you are as a human being to sources outside of yourself that you can't even define. You can't even point your finger to it. It's just a general societal external locus of control. It could be from your parents, it could be from your church, it could be from your job, it could be from just society, it could be from Instagram, it could be from any place. You know, you're seeking validation from outside of yourself, and you are being motivated by that need for that external validation. There is nothing in the world. As soon as you get to that place, yeah, you have gone over the top. That's where you have, without question, created the opportunity for the simp industrial complex to run your life. The next and most destructive vulnerability that we have that the simp industrial complex will exploit is our existential fear of being alone in our head. You see, the space in between our ears, the thoughts that we have become an unpleasant place. They've become a place that we don't necessarily feel comfortable. We don't feel at home because it's filled with all this negative feedback, this constant criticism, this constant judgment, this constant sense of not being enough. And it is an existential fear because the idea that we're going to live in this space alone for the rest of our lives just seems unbearable. It's just unbearable. And so we think that if we can have a romantic relationship with a beautiful woman, that somehow we can invite her into this space and she can heal it. She can make it better. She can make us right. You know, that she can cure it, that she can relieve the pain of being alone in our own heads. And obviously that's impossible. There's nothing that a woman can do. There's nothing that you can get from her that you think that you need. You believe that you need this relationship in order to cure yourself of this existential fear. This existential horror is really what it is, of living in your own head. And yeah, that's just obviously not the case. This is the same existential horror that drives people to drink, take drugs, gamble, to become hyper promiscuous, you know, all these addictive personality types, behaviors. They find their home, their root, their beginning in this existential fear, this horror of being alone in our heads. And we're trying to find some way to numb it, to make it go away, to make it feel just a little bit better to be alone with ourselves. And romantic relationships is the way a lot of men see this as a solution for their problem. And obviously, there's no way that a woman can get inside your head. There's no way that anything she can say or do is going to make you feel better. And quite frankly, the opposite's going to be true, because her voice of criticism and judgment is going to harmonize with that voice in your head that's being critical and judgmental. And now you're going to find hell not only in your head, but out in the world too. So trust me, if you approach a relationship with the thought that you're going to find some kind of relief to this craziness that you have going on in your head, yeah, you're not. A woman is only going to make it 10 times worse. Trust me. All right, so what can we do to relieve some of this? How do we shore up our vulnerability so that we're not so open to the simp industrial complex, and that the pink mist can get into our head so easily and quickly and dominate our lives and force us to make decisions and commitments that we'll probably regret at some point in the future? It's really quite simple. Let's start with the low self-esteem in the beginning. I think the first thing that we need to recognize with low self-esteem is that it's not something that is a disease. You can't catch it. It's not contagious. You know, I guess if you hang around with other people who have low self-esteem, maybe it is contagious. Maybe I'm wrong there. But it's something that's happening inside you. And really what it's the result of is a failure, a rejection. Something happened that caused you to fail or not to achieve something that you wanted. And rather than seeing this as a reflection of your personal worth, You need to see it simply as an experience. It's just something that happened. It's just an experience. You let it go. You move on. You move on to the next thing. Every failure has the roots of the next success in it. So see it for that, that all your failures are just taking you one step closer to the success that you ideally want. So if a woman rejects you, or you fail at school, or you don't hit the home run, whatever it may be that drives this idea in your head that you're not worthwhile, just see it for what it is. It's just an external experience. It's something that happened. It's not a reflection of who you are. It has nothing to do with your value as a human being. It's just an event. It's just an event. And if some dumb girl isn't interested in you, then you need to count your lucky blessings. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, this is the game I play with myself. When something doesn't go my way, the way that I think that it should go, the way I want it to go in the moment, and it goes sideways for some way, shape, or form, something goes wrong, I honestly just think, thank you, God. You're obviously saving me from some kind of pain that I'm not willing to put up with, you know? I assume that there's some kind of divine hand in this thing, and that the forces of the universe, whatever it may be, whatever you want to call it, you can call it God, universe, fate, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's working on your behalf, and it's helping you out. And by you getting a little rejection from that girl, you know, chances are it's probably in your best interest. You're probably going to be better off for it. He sees, or she sees, or whatever universal force you think, guardian angels, whatever. Whatever it may be, they see that if you go down that path, you're not going to be happy. And so you just got saved from all that. I think of it as like the forgetting your car keys. You know, you run out to your car, you're all ready to go, and you're running late, and you know, you're just in such a rush. And you realize, shit, I forgot my car keys. And so now you gotta go back in the house and you can't find them, and you're 5 minutes later getting out to the car. And now you're really stressed out because you're thinking, shit, now I'm really gonna be late. And you get on your way down the road, and at the first intersection, you realize there's been an enormous car accident. And you think, wow, if I had been on time, that could have been me. That's the way I look at it. It's like, yep, you just avoided a terrible, terrible, horrific accident, you know? So you didn't get accepted by that girl, she didn't want to go out with you, whatever, it's probably for the best. Negative self-talk, same kind of thing. You know, it goes hand in hand with low self-esteem. The minute you get into that low self-esteem frame of mind, you're just going to start filling your head up with all this negative self-talk. Now, when you're a kid, it's really hard to put a stop to that. You have to really have a high level of awareness. But as adults, we can definitely do it. It's called metacognition. And I know it sounds like a big word, it's not. It's not that big a deal. It's just listening to your thoughts and becoming aware of the things that you're saying to yourself. And understanding that by repeating this stuff, you're not doing yourself any favors. And so when you have the ability to be aware of the monologue, the thoughts that are going inside your head, think about that. Like there's something else in there that's listening, that's aware of the thought that you're having. And when you can tap into that place where you are aware of the thought that you're having and recognizing it, that it's not a healthy thought, that it's not a thought that's going to get you to the place where you want to go. Like this is not supporting, you know, your best interest. You stop that thought and you replace it with something new. You find a different thought. You simply say, that thought's not serving me. I'm not allowing it. I have a boundary. I have a boundary in my head that I am not allowing these negative thoughts to dominate my consciousness, because I realize that if I continue this negative self-talk, that it's going to harm me in the long run, that it's going to have a destructive force on my whole life. And I cannot be the person that is most critical and judgmental of myself. I have got to be the one that is the cheerleader for myself. I've got to find the positive spin on every single thing. If you allow yourself to fall into the trap of embracing that negative self-talk, you will suffer immeasurably. That's where that hell, that you know, that existential horror takes root, is when that negative self-talk just runs on and on and on, and you're alone in your head with this negative voice. Yeah, you don't want that. You do not want that. So just listen for those words, listen to those negative thoughts, and the minute one of them pops into your head, just stop it. Change the subject, move on to something else, you know, distract yourself, but do not allow yourself to continue down that path of repeating these negative thoughts. When you hear them, just stop them. Just say, you know, I'm not having that thought. That's a boundary. I'm not allowing myself to go down that path. You know, I put a positive spin on it. You know, I'm glad she's gone. I'm glad she dumped me. I do not want that girl in my life. She was trouble from the very beginning. I could see it. I trust that this is going to work out better for me anyway. You know, I know that there's better people out there for me. I don't need her validation, whatever it may be. Just find some way to put a positive spin on it. So low self-esteem and negative self-talk are what create negative belief systems. Belief systems that run in the background, they become part of your operating system. When that negative self-talk continues on and on and on and on, it eventually turns into a belief, something that you just accept as true no matter what. Like it becomes the framework for your entire life. It is the setting in which you're operating from that point forward. It is very difficult to break through a belief system. Negative belief systems will dictate to you all of your experiences from that point forward. If you believe that you have a negative belief system, you need to start breaking it down and determining, is it serving you? You know, identify the aspects of it. How is it influencing your life? When you believe negative things about yourself, this is not something that is externally validated or true. This is something that you just have interpreted through your experiences, your rejections, whatever it was, your negative self-talk, and you have programmed your self-conscious, your subconscious, to believe that you're not worthy, that you're not a good guy, that you don't deserve positive things happening in your life. And when you get to that place, well, it just starts to dictate everything from that point forward. Now you are completely vulnerable to the simp industrial, you know, complex. Now the simp industrial complex controls you 100% because you're going to be demanding that external validation from a woman. You're going to be demanding that idea that you need to submit yourself to her in order to be worthy. Yeah, and that is completely effed up. I mean, that's completely screwy. So don't allow yourself to have these belief systems. Change your self-talk. If you think you've got it, you got to just start with the self-talk. Go back, relive some of these situations, reframe them, try to change your operating system to something that's going to be a little bit more in tune with what you want for yourself. The next one is that locus of control. And this is where you've got tons and tons and tons of power, and it can actually help you override a negative belief system. If you're living your life from an external perspective, you're taking your cues from outside and you're seeing your validation coming from outside, well, that is your sign that you have an external locus of control. Turning that inward, meaning that you now decide what motivates you, what is it that is going to be the driving force in your life. You start making a list of what your priorities are and what makes you authentic and whole. And you start pursuing those things for your own sake. That is an internal locus of control. You decide what the game is. You decide what the rules to the game are. And you decide what winning the game is. That is internal locus of control. External locus of control is when you are playing someone else's game by someone else's rules, and they're determining what the winning is, what the prizes are, and how you win. You can never win that game. You can never win when you're playing someone else's game. When you're playing your own game, well, now the odds are stacked in your favor. It's not against the rules to play your own game. Like, this is the way life is. You set the rules, man. That's what most people don't get. Like, you don't have to play by the rules that you see outside of yourself. You don't have to accept that that's the way things are. You live the life that you want from the inside out. You determine what your experience is going to be. You guide this ship. You chart the course. That's the key to this whole thing. Once you get your head around that concept, you change everything. Everything in your life changes because now you are on some level shaping your reality in meaningful ways. And I'm not going to get down to the place where I'm saying, yeah, you create your own universe, your own world, your own everything, because I don't think that's true. But you can influence it significantly so that you can push it in a particular direction and you can guide the ship generally in the direction that you want to go, you know? But if you're externally validated, your locus of control is external, you'll never get to where you want to go. It'll just be happenstance. It's like you're being blown around on the sea by the, you know, without a rudder, because there's always going to be some changing current, some changing wind that's going to push you one way and then the other. And it's so easy to lose sight of what's really important to you. And I think a lot of the reason that people don't seek this internal locus of control, they don't focus on that, is because they have a difficult time deciding what's important to them. their self-esteem is so low that they don't know that they can actually claim that they want something worthy for themselves. It gets really bad. That low self-esteem gets in there, and that negative self-talk and the negative belief system. Yeah, and then when you get to a place where it's like, yeah, I want to start setting my own goals, well, it's really easy to see how you trip yourself up on this path, you know? But so long as your locus of control is external, the simp industrial complex is going to be pushing you around, telling you exactly what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. You will become the sacrificial man. You don't want to be that guy. You do not want to be that guy. What's really interesting is that just like how the vulnerabilities can stack up against you in the simp industrial complex's plan to determine your outcome and push you in particular directions, when you start flipping the switch and you start shoring up those vulnerabilities and you start shaping your experience by your own internal locus of control, you start to build toward the ultimate goal, which is to eliminate that existential horror that exists inside your head when your head is filled with all that negative bullshit. No longer are you lost at sea, being pushed around by every current and every wave and every, you know, puff of wind. You now have more control over the destinations. You're choosing the destinations and you're pushing yourself in those directions intentionally. And when you start doing that, you're no longer afraid of that space in your head. You're no longer afraid of the voice in your head. It's not a horrible place anymore. Suddenly you realize that it's not the hell that you thought it was. It's actually your own personal little slice of heaven, because it's the place where you can go for rest and relaxation. It's the place where you can go to reflect. It's the place where you can go to plan. It's the place you can go for peace. It's the place where you, it's like your hideaway. It's like that little place inside you that you can go where you're always going to be okay. Like, you know that you have within you the sanctuary that is your mind. And when your mind becomes your sanctuary and it is a peaceful place where you can plan for what comes next and you can shape your reality, and you start seeing it as that that little study in your head where you can start to create the world that you want for yourself, yeah, you no longer need someone else to be in there with you. In fact, you don't want anyone else in there with you. You know, your voice is just the one that you need to hear. You don't need to have some woman in there talking to you all the time. You know, even if you could have her in there, you wouldn't want her in there. You know, you want that peaceful space, because no matter what happens in the world, you have this sanctuary that you carry with you everywhere you go. Doesn't matter what bad things are happening out there. You decide how it affects you. You are in control. You've already decided that this is your game. You've set the rules. You know what the prizes are. You know what it takes to win. There is no external force that is going to push you into some event or some set of circumstances that are not going to be in alignment with who you are as a human being or as a man. So now you've just defanged the ultimate control that the simp industrial complex has on you. You don't need alcohol. You don't need drugs. You don't need women. You don't need gambling. You don't need promiscuous sex. You don't need any of it, because you're at one and at home with yourself. You know, you are a complete man, and you have the ability to make decisions about the kinds of sacrifices that you might choose to make, not that you're going to be tricked into making. So if you decide at some point that you want to have a woman in your life, you can go into that relationship with your head up, understanding what the pink mist is, knowing what its effects are. And you can see it as an intoxicant, and you can play with it a little bit. You know what I mean? You can experiment a little bit with the pink mist, but you won't be owned by the pink mist. The pink mist won't take you. It won't drive you in directions that you want to go. You can feel the euphoria that comes with having a new relationship without it dominating you, without it controlling you. And that's the most important thing. You're now deciding what sacrifices you're going to make, how much you're going to sacrifice, and who you're going to sacrifice for. And in the end, you're going to start to turn things around, and you're going to understand that those things that you give to other people, those pieces of yourself that you voluntarily give up to other people, You're not doing it because you feel like you have to in order to be seen as worthy. You're doing it out of a place of love because you want to communicate with that person that you care for them, that you love them, and it's who you are as a man, not who you need them to think you are. You're just expressing who you authentically are, not as a means to manipulate or as a means to convince or as a way to appear worthy. Yeah, so now you can just be yourself, you know? It's easy then. Then relationships come and go, it's easy. They don't reflect on you, doesn't matter. If she likes you, she doesn't like you, it doesn't matter. You're just being yourself. You're just living your life from your perspective. You're doing the things that come naturally to you. And if a relationship works out, that's great. She can fit right into your life. And if she doesn't, that's fine too. Doesn't matter. It's just like having a new TV in the house, you know? You gotta, so I don't wanna make it that objectification, but I wanna have that concept that it doesn't really matter that much, you know? If you enjoy having relationships with women, have relationships with women. You know, I enjoy, you know, making videos. I make videos. Do what makes you happy. Make yourself happy at the end of the day. It's your game. You play by your rules. But don't allow yourself to feel like you have to be someone that you're not in order to achieve what you think you need. Because you don't need it. You don't. You're complete. You're whole. You're 100%. You don't need it. Be yourself. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Anyway, that's how you beat the simp industrial complex. You got to be 100% authentic. You got to be yourself. And in order to be yourself, you've got to find all those places back in the past where you were tearing yourself down, where you were not being whole, where you were that negative voice in your head, where you were building up belief systems that weren't supporting who you were, when you were looking outside of yourself for direction and your validation and all that other stuff. Just take it all back. Take back that power. And be the man that you know you can be. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. If you like the video, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might be into it, please share it with them. If you want to get some coaching, go to my website at johnsgriffin.com/coaching. I do 15-minute free sessions, so if you want just to have a quick one-on-one, I'm happy to do that with you. But do me a favor, if you're going to schedule it, please show up. I hate it when people schedule the freebies and then they don't show. It's like, man, you're just wasting my time. So if you're going to do it, at least show up. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you. Till next time, remember, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.